Can we turn then to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and I want to look at Simeon that we read about here, reading from verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I try to think a little this morning with you from that word in Romans 15, where Paul expresses that desire, that prayer, the God of peace fill you with all joy, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And I just felt this evening constrained to consider a character in whom that was evidenced. And I think that we have to say concerning Simeon that he was one who knew what it was to be filled with joy and peace in believing. And I'll seek to substantiate that from what we can learn of this man from this passage. And so I just really want to have a simple look at Simeon and discover what we can find out about him from these words. He's an interesting character. We don't know very much about him, but he's interesting. He was obviously a very blessed character, and I'm absolutely certain of this, that we can learn from his example. A number of the things that we consider about him this evening, I'm sure will be helpful to us. We can learn. He is a good example for us. He was probably an old man. We can't be sure of that, but he probably was. That doesn't really matter whether he was old or young. One thing of which we can be certain is this, that he was a man who loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. Without question, he loved God. And all that we read of him in this brief account tells us that he did love God and he desired to serve God, and indeed he did serve God. And as he served God, he was taken up with love to him and his anticipation of the coming Messiah. We can see that he had this great anticipation, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And we can say that his heart was enraptured with the Messiah who was promised. And I immediately hold him up as an example to each one of us. We need to ask ourselves the question, do I love God? Do I love God in the way that Simeon loved God? Do I know anything of what it is for my heart, my soul, to be enraptured with the Lord Jesus Christ? When we think of him and all that he's done for us, when we think how rich we are because of his finished work at Calvary, do we know anything of being enraptured by him? You will say, I'm sure, as I would say, oh, that my soul could love him more. We do want to love him more, and we're saddened often that we don't love him as we should, and we don't think about him as we ought to do. But deep down in our hearts, I trust that we do have a love to him. And so Simeon loved the Lord. Secondly, we can say this, he was a lowly humble man. We're told that he was just and devout. verse 25, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was just, so he was a God-fearing person who sought to live his life according to the teaching of Holy Scripture. He would have known the psalm, of course, and no doubt knew that verse well. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm sure that that's how Simeon lived, and that's how he wanted to live, serving the Lord. And we do well to take note of that and to pray that God would help us to be those who seek to live our lives according to the teaching of Holy Scripture, that we do accept that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. A lamp pointing out the footsteps as we go along, and a light that shines, giving us an anticipation of how the Lord will lead us on. Well, he was devout then, and he was diligent in his prayers. We're told that he was often at the temple, possibly daily at the temple, and the worship of God was paramount in his life. He was humble, he was upright, he was honest. He was a man living for God. And I say, what an example. Do we not say, Lord, may I be more like that man? I want my life to be more like this man. And then we can say that he was looking for the Messiah. There's no doubt about that. He was looking for the Messiah. In verse 26, and it was revealed, well, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, what God revealed to him with regard to that, what concept he had of how he would see the Lord's Christ, we can't be dogmatic. I personally feel that he believed what is stated here. He expected to see the Lord's Christ in person. And that is what he was looking for. He was looking for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had promised him that he would not die until he had seen him, the promised one, the Saviour. And so you can understand that Simeon was looking for the fulfilment of that promise that had been given to him. Day by day, as he came up to the temple, he doubtless wondered when would God reveal the Saviour to him. But he did believe. He believed the promise. God had told him, and he didn't question it. He believed it. Why otherwise would he keep coming? He kept coming to the temple because he was looking for the Messiah, because God had promised. And my friends, that is what we have to do. That is what Paul says. It is in believing the word of God, the promises of God. It is in believing that we shall know that joy and peace. And certainly we can see, and we shall see more, that Simeon did know something of that joy and peace. So we should be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. I wonder whether you have by faith seen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. What a blessing to have seen him by faith as our Saviour. He is the one who says to sinners like you and me, come unto me and I will give you rest. What a joy it is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he has bidden us come, that he makes us welcome. He is a welcoming Saviour. And he says to sinners, come unto me and I will give you rest. And I wonder then, have you by faith seen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? We should be looking for him, and we should be looking for him in his working. I try to pray for the salvation of lost souls. And we pray, and we want to pray more earnestly, that souls will be saved. The people will be brought in under the ministry of God's word, and that they would be saved by God's matchless grace. And we should be looking for that, looking for God's working in salvation. When we come together to worship God, do we come expectantly? Do we come wondering what God will say to us today? Will there be something from the Lord for me? Some direction, some comfort, some confirmation? Will God speak with a word of blessing to my soul? And we should be then living our lives not only as we gather together to worship, but day by day. I love David's words in Psalm 62, where he sort of sat himself down one side of the fire, and he's addressing his soul, and he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Do you have an expectation from God when you pray? Do you expect him to hear your prayer and to grant you answers? We know that God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says no. Often we would say he says wait. But how wonderfully the Lord God does hear and answer prayer. And can we not testify to that fact in our lives? And so we should be looking for the Lord, as Simeon was, in this matter of the salvation of souls, to see him working. But then we should be looking for him concerning his second advent. I mentioned it this morning, but how we should live our lives remembering that the Lord is coming, and he tells us that we don't know the day, but he tells us that we should watch. We are those who should be watching every day for the Lord's return. And we have some encouragements, don't we, in God's word concerning that. I think of Paul's words in writing to Timothy, in his farewell message. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a promise! But unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord? Do you love to read of his appearing in his word? Do you love to see his appearing when you hear of the conversion of souls? You hear someone give their testimony. You hear someone speak of the Lord having just met with them and saved them by his grace. Don't you love that? It's the most thrilling thing that we can listen to, someone telling of God's saving grace in their life. And we should be among those then that love his appearing, and what a promise it is, that crown of righteousness. And then we notice this morning at the Lord's Supper, I mentioned it, this wonderful statement at the end of Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. It's yet to happen. Christ is going to appear again in power and great glory. He will come on the clouds of heaven, the Bible tells us, and every eye shall see him, they also that pierced him, in case there was any doubt. Even those that pierced him, they shall see him. And oh, do we not anticipate that day? Do we not think that what a wonderful day that would be? I sometimes, perhaps, we don't always feel like that. I tell you one thing that perhaps troubles me a little sometimes when I think of his appearing is remembering loved ones that are not saved. When we have loved ones, brothers, sisters, maybe sons, daughters, that are not saved, and we think that one day the Lord is coming again, and oh, we long that he will not come until they've been saved by his grace. And we pray for their salvation. And that is what we must do. And then we must leave the matter in God's hands. He knows. And his will shall be done. But we should be looking then for his appearing when he will come in the clouds of heaven. And every eye will see him. So Simeon was looking then for the Saviour. But not only was he looking, he was longing. He was longing for his coming. Look at that statement in verse 25 again. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. With all that that meant, Simeon would have understood much better than I do what he meant by that thought. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we know from what Simeon goes on to say that the consolation of Israel was not to be for Israel only, but for you and me, for the Gentile nations. And Simeon was given a wonderful understanding of the extent of the work of Christ in saving lost sinners throughout the Gentile nations. And he was longing for this one to come who would be the consolation of Israel, of all those who would believe on him. And in verse 32, you'll notice Simeon says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. As he saw, or as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, he saw that this very one was the Redeemer, the Messiah, who would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. And how true that is. It is because of him, because of all that he's done, that there is hope for us, that there is a salvation in which we can rejoice. And so Simeon longed for this Saviour, this one who had been foretold down through the ages. He longed for this mission that Christ had come to fulfill in saving sinners, and he was looking for this one to be revealed to him. And I just want to mention again how that he longed with expectation. He knew, he understood what the Messiah would do. He understood, at least in measure, what he would be undertaking. He knew that he was coming to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, to bring them to a knowledge of God and of salvation. And so he was full of faith. He was believing. He was expecting. And therefore he was longing for the Messiah to come. And I will ask you, do you long for the working of Messiah, even in our days? Is there that ache in your heart that God would work in salvation, in saving precious souls, not just those that are near and dear to you? We long for that, but we long for God to so work in saving precious souls that his name would be glorified. Just as Simeon longed, so we must long for the salvation of our God, to see his power demonstrated in our day. And that when we come to the Lord in prayer and we're laying these things before him, may we have more longing in our hearts and more expectation in our hearts, so that we can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And then I want to notice that Simeon was loyal. He was loyal to God. He was loyal to the temple, because he believed in God, because he believed in his word, as I've emphasized. And it may well be that he was at the temple every day with that anticipation of seeing the Lord's Christ. We've no idea how long he had been coming. We don't know how many times he visited the temple with this expectation, but certainly he did. And he may have been coming a long time. And I've no doubt, because he was a sinful man, as we are sinful people, Satan would have tested him. And perhaps he wondered sometimes, had he made a mistake? Had he misunderstood what God had said to him? Well, if Satan did tempt him like that, he didn't achieve stopping him. Simeon had such faith, and he so believed that he was going to keep coming. And that is what he did. He was loyal to God. He was loyal to the word of God. He was loyal to the promise of God. And a thought that I love is this, that he had a settled faith. He's had a settled faith. God had said it, he believed it. God had given him that promise, and he believed that promise. And my friends, how good it is when we have a settled faith. You can see it again and again in the word of God. Anna, who came into the temple just at this time, just as he was giving thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, she clearly had a settled faith as well. She was among those that were looking for redemption in Israel. And when she saw Simeon with the babe in his arms, she believed. She knew who it was. She believed. And she immediately went and told all of her friends that were looking for redemption in Israel, he's come. The Messiah has come. He is in the temple with Simeon. And so Simeon was loyal to God, loyal to his word, loyal to the promise of God because he had this settled faith. And what a blessed thing it is to have this settled faith, believing the promises of God. God has said it, therefore I believe it. And then we can see that Simeon was led. He was led by the Spirit into the temple on this day. It was at the right time. I don't think that means that other times that he came, he was not led. He felt that was the right thing to do. But I think the point is that he came on that day that Mary and Joseph were there, and it was not by accident, by the Spirit of God, he came into the temple at the right time. And he saw Mary and Joseph at some time. He saw them there with the babe in their arms, almost certainly Mary with the babe in her arms. As they came into the temple, as Simeon saw them, he took the Lord Jesus, he took the babe from Mary, took the babe, baby Jesus from his mother's arms. And I sometimes wondered whether Simeon had any concept that it would be a baby that he would see, or whether he would expect to see a more mature person. What he knew of the events in Bethlehem and the shepherds and the song of the angels and so on, we don't know. But it was all in God's purposes that he should be there when Mary and Joseph came with the babe, and he took the babe in his arms. God showed him that this was indeed the Messiah, and he believed with all his heart. What faith he had, and what joy filled his heart. It's so evident from all that he says here that his heart was overflowing with joy. Just imagine what a thrill it was to him. God had said that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And here he is with the babe in his arms. Don't you think that he was thrilled? Utterly thrilled with all that he saw and experienced. And it was because he believed. He had that faith in his heart. He saw in the babe that he held salvation. He saw God's salvation, not accomplished, but he saw the one who had come to accomplish salvation. He saw the one whom God had sent to complete that glorious work. And he believed God's word and promise. He believed God's plan. My friends, do you believe in God's plan? Do you believe all that the Word of God tells us about this babe, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he came to do? Simeon took him in his arms, and he believed and he gave thanks to God. Have you, by God's grace, taking the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your Saviour? Have you realised, have you acknowledged that he and he alone can save you from your sins? Have you realised that he has come to save sinners like you, and that you are welcome to come to him? He bids you come to him. And he will receive you, and you by faith may take him as your Saviour. Oh, what a blessing this was to Simeon on this occasion. And then we can notice this, that Simeon had amazing light as he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy word. He's saying, in effect, Lord, I'm ready to die now. You could take me home now, Lord, because I've received the promise. I've seen the Messiah. And what a wonderful thing that is. But he also saw something of what the Lord Jesus Christ had come to do. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He saw in this babe the salvation which God had provided for sinners. And therefore, he was ready to die in full assurance of faith. What an amazing thing it was for him. And then he goes on to speak of Christ being, or the babe would become, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. What amazing things these are. That Simeon understood. He had the light to understand this, to believe these things, that this was indeed the Messiah in the fullest extent with all that he had come to do. And what wondrous joy must have filled his heart, as I said. And I would ask you this question: when you think of Christ, when you think of everything that we're told about him, his coming, and all that he has done, and all that he now does in heaven as our advocate, as our mediator with God the Father, when you think of all that he's yet going to do, and you consider these things, does that not fill your heart with joy? Joy at realizing all that Christ has accomplished and will yet accomplish in taking all of his people at last, in the fullest sense, and I express it in the fullest sense, taking them home to glory. And really, my friends, there is no other way for us to be ready to die than to see Jesus Christ by faith as God's salvation, to see him as the Saviour of sinners, of our Saviour, my Saviour, as I trust in him, indeed the Saviour of all who trust in him. What a blessing it is to see this by faith. I was thinking of just a simple illustration. A minister often took his holidays it would have been in the region of the Alps, I suppose. He would go climbing and walking in the hills and so on, and he had some of the local language, whether it was German or French, but he was able to communicate with some of the local people, and he met a shepherd boy. And he got talking to this shepherd boy, and he very quickly was talking to him about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And amongst other things, he taught him the 23rd Psalm. And he taught the boy, when he said the 23rd Psalm, to take his two fingers and say, "The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, to remind him of the truth of that fact, if he trusted in him. Well, 2 or 3 years he saw him, and then 1 year he went, and he went looking for him on the hills, and the boy was not there. He couldn't find him anywhere. So he went, he lived with his grandmother, and he went to the home where he had lived, and the old lady came to the door, and he asked her about her grandson, and tears came to her eyes, and she said, well, last winter, she said, there was a violent snowstorm, and he was up in the mountains with his sheep, and he managed to lead his sheep to a place of safety amongst the rocks where they were sheltered, but she said he died from exposure. He couldn't get home. The sheep were safe because they were out of the wind, and although they got covered with snow, they got good fur coats. But the boy, he died from exposure. And then she said, there was a strange thing. They told me that when they found him, he had taken his gloves off, and he was holding two fingers of his left hand. With his right hand, he was holding two fingers of his hand together. And she said, we wondered why he did that. Well, this is a true story. It really happened. And of course, the minister realized immediately that he knew why it had happened. The boy had died out there on the mountainside, trusting in the Savior. He knew the Lord as his shepherd, and it brought joy to his heart. Oh, my friends, do you know that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come as Simeon did, to see all that Jesus Christ is? And is your hope and trust for time and eternity in him? But then, just very quickly in closing, we can see that Simeon was not only a light, he was a lighthouse. Because the light shone out from him. It shone out from him to us this evening, hasn't it? If we have eyes to see these things and a heart to believe them, doesn't the light from what Simeon says shine out to us and fill our hearts with joy? You see, Simeon was a beacon shining forth the truth of the gospel. The angels had said the good tidings that they brought, that Christ was born, that it was good tidings to all people. Simeon says exactly the same thing. He says that all people will be blessed through Christ, which thou hast prepared, in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon knew the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and he made known that Christ was a light to lighten the Gentile, to shine to the ends of the earth. And I simply ask you, has he shone into your heart? My dear friends, it's something that only you can answer. But it's something that we all need to consider. It's something that even the younger ones can understand. Has he shone into your heart? Because if he has, then you will feel a love in your heart to him. You will feel something of the words expressed in our hymn this morning. Oh, that his hands had been placed on my head, that his arms had been thrown around me. Don't you sometimes feel that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ when you read of these blessings? When I think of that hymn, don't very often sing it, but when I think of it, then I think, well, yes, I can understand that. That's what I feel. Oh, that his hands have been placed on my head. that his arms have been thrown around me. Oh, do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you look and long for him? Is all your hope and all your trust in him? Are you ready for him? Then, my friends, as we believe these things, we are assured that we shall know something of that joy and peace filling our hearts. Joy and peace. And how must we go on? Well, John tells us, John in his epistle, and his first epistle, I'll get there in a moment, first epistle and the fifth chapter, he says this in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Why does John repeat that? Having addressed them as those that believe on the name of the Son of God, why does he say, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God"? He is simply saying that we must go on. There is no other way. We believe on the name of the Son of God. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must go on believing on him until we see him face to face. We must put our trust nowhere else. We must trust in the Saviour and him alone. And we must do that day by day. We must pray that he would keep us faithful to him and looking to him and looking to him only. And that we may know that we have eternal life. That is his promise. Oh, my friends, do you trust in him? And are you still trusting in him? Then, my friends, continue to trust in him, and you will know something of that joy and peace that Paul was praying about, filling your heart through Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to us.